Do you sit idly by while a family member or dear friend kills themselves slowly by putting on more and more weight? What's the best way to confront someone you care for about their weight? On today's feature, we tackle this subject. Plus, we have the Web Report and a couple of your great questions, all on episode number 91 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat Fit Radio. So we are recording this show the week after the Olympics finished. So Russ, did you have an Olympic-sized weight loss?
Well, unfortunately, no. Actually, I am up just a tad bit here at 221.7, about a quarter pound up. So I did not eat any quarter pounders, so I really don't know where it came from, but I'm going to assume it's all just muscle, right, Jeff?
Or it could be a little bit of depression because the Canadians beat the Americans for the gold medal in men's and women's hockey. That must have been pretty disappointing for you.
Well, you know, I'll be a little lighter in the pocketbook here in a short while, but other than that, you know, it was an exciting game. You know, I didn't get to watch the whole thing, but I did get to watch the overtime portion of the game, and man, it was exciting.
Yeah, it was even exciting when I won that $20 off you. But anyways, how are your goals this week?
Well, again, despite being up a quarter pound, goals were really good. I think eating goals, a good 9 out of 10. Exercise, probably an 8 out of 10, I'd say. And motivation for the week, a good 9 out of 10. So, you know, I'm gonna hope and that all this extra little bit of weight here is some muscle. But we'll say it's that.
Well, the thing about if you're eating, exercise, and motivation are all higher than 8 or 9 out of 10, you are doing everything right, and weight loss, like I'm always saying, there's no secrets to weight loss. You do the things every day that you're supposed to, and you cannot help but lose weight. Weight will fluctuate up and down on a daily and weekly basis, so I really wouldn't worry about it this week.
Not worrying, but let's get into our email and comments, and our first one is from Wendy. She wrote here, I just joined a weight loss program run by the local state university, which is much like Weight Watchers. It includes a daily calorie limit and instructions to walk for 30 minutes a day, step count tracking, and a food log that teaches you to think about what you were doing, where you were, and how you were feeling every time you ate. I have a question about one aspect of the program, step count tracking. Do you think this is a valuable tool in weight loss or another fitness myth? Most people at the meeting complained about their pedometers being inaccurate, so I can't decide if this is a worthwhile aspect of dieting and fitness or a pointless distraction.
Well, I'm going to take this one. Step counting is definitely not a fitness myth. The main reason that it works for weight loss is that it holds you accountable to doing whatever level of walking or moving around your goal happens to be. The more that you walk, the more calories you burn. It's just as simple as that. Successful weight loss is a combination of both eating a little less and increasing your exercise. Many people just want to get away with doing more exercise and moving around more. Most of the time when people have these nebulous goals like this, nothing really happens. They will truly believe that they are doing so much extra every day, but until you track it, most people overestimate how much they're really doing. Now, I really believe this about fitness and weight loss. You can't improve what you can't measure. If I just specifically talk about weight loss, it is all about the caloric deficit. If you track your calories and know that you are eating 250 calories less per day, and you know that you're exercising an extra 250 calories per day, theoretically, you should be losing 1 pound per week. Most people worry much more about tracking the calories in their food when exercise is truly the other half. Now, as for the people complaining about their pedometers being inaccurate, if it is inaccurate because it gives them different results over a few days for the exact same path that you've been walking, they can make sure that they're using them properly and wearing them properly to get the most accurate count, or they could just get a better pedometer. If they think that it's inaccurate because they believe it overestimates or underestimates, it doesn't really matter. 99% of the population, for example, has no idea what those stock index numbers mean, but they know if it's good or bad if it goes up or down. If you truly believe that 9,500 steps on your pedometer is really 10,000, it's no big deal. Just make sure you walk 9,500 per day every day. And the last point that I have, as for being a pointless distraction, if everything else in your life comes first before your health and fitness, then it is a pointless distraction because it takes you away from everything else. But if your health and fitness have not been as important as they should have been in the past, This focuses your attention towards how you can improve them. A pedometer isn't the end-all fitness tool, but for people who don't have a regular workout routine or program, it helps people to increase their activity, get a little healthier, and lose some extra fat.
Yeah, you don't want to get hung up on those extra 500 steps. I mean, over the length of the time that you might be using that pedometer walking, you're probably going to walk 500 steps more or less, and it's going to say, you know, it's going to be somewhere in between.
That's right, but the important thing is it just gets you moving. Well, let's move on to our next item, and this one came in from Becky.
Yeah, she wrote here, I have recently started listening to your show. To give you some background, I'm a female, 5'6", currently 193 pounds, down from 235 pounds. I began my journey in January 2009, so a little over 1 year later, I have lost 42 pounds. However, for the past month or so, I have been really buckling down again, counting calories, etc. I am using an app on the iPhone called Lose It. It says for me to lose 2 pounds per week, I should eat around 1,300 calories a day. I work out 4 to 6 days a week, burning anywhere between 450 and 800 calories each time. Last week, I actually gained 0.3 pounds and ran 25 miles on the treadmill and ate perfect almost every meal. One meal Saturday night, I had 2 slices of pizza and a salad for a kind of a cheat meal with a little ice cream too. Each other day, I was in the 1,300 to 1,400 calorie range and burned 5,300 calories through exercise that week. How could I have possibly gained weight? After listening to your show, it would seem that I would need to be eating more. My BMR is 1645, so is that what I should be eating? I feel like there is so much information out there, and it is all so confusing. I was thinking of going to a dietitian, but it is very expensive. Can you give me any guidance? I'm very happy with my weight loss thus far, and I am keeping everything off, which is great. But I feel like I should not be gaining and at least losing 1.5 pounds per week. Any light you could shed on this would be great. Thanks, Becky.
All right, first of all, congratulations on losing 42 pounds over the last year. That is truly amazing. I've been using the analogy lately that 5 pounds of fat is about the same volume as a loaf of bread. So can you imagine getting 8 loaves of bread and then pulling those loaves all apart and shoving all of that bread inside your clothing? That is how much smaller you are. It is a huge difference. Now, you are right now in a classic weight loss plateau. You are using an iPhone app right now that calculated how much you need to eat to lose 2 pounds per week. A pound of fat has 3,500 calories, and therefore 2 pounds of fat has 7,000. So all that it did was calculate for you to lose 2 pounds of fat, you need to eat 7,000 calories less per week, or 1,000 calories less per day. Mathematically, it works, but you are not a robot or a machine. You are a biological organism that responds to everything in your environment to keep you alive. I mean, mathematically, if you drop the temperature in a room by 10 degrees, mathematically, you'd think that eventually your body would drop 10 degrees, but it doesn't work that way. Your body will do what it can to keep itself warm. It's going to start shivering to try and heat yourself up so that you don't freeze and die. The same thing happens when you start eating too few calories. Your body starts fighting back and slows down your metabolism, but it thinks that it is starving, so the calorie equation falls apart as well. Your iPhone app calculated that you burn 2,300 calories per day right now to maintain your current weight. So technically, to lose 4 pounds per week, you could reduce your calories by 2,000 per day and only eat 300 calories per day. It sounds simple, but this just doesn't work for more than a day or two. If you only eat 300 calories per day, your body goes right into starvation mode because, frankly, you are starving yourself. You could probably continue this and use applications to calculate how you can lose 10 pounds in a week. And they would tell you something like you need to stop eating entirely and then go outside and run at least an extra 20 miles per day while, of course, continuing your current workout routine. The point that I'm trying to take home here is that you can figure out mathematically how you should be able to lose weight, but when taken to any extremes, it doesn't work. Now, for the rest of our listeners, I am specifically referring to Becky right now and her numbers. Some people can lose 4 pounds per week if they weigh considerably more. I mean, a 500-pound man can have a 2,000-calorie deficit per day and still probably eat over 3,000 calories per day. The smaller you are, the slower the rate that you can lose fat. But let's get back to the email. When I first read this email, the first thought that crossed my mind was that I felt sorry for Becky. She's struggling to eat 1,300 calories per day and getting no results right now. I know that she could be eating 2,000 calories per day and losing steady, continual weight week after week without suffering. 6 months down the road, she can either weigh 5 pounds less by continuing to struggle eating 1,300 calories per day and fighting with her body's starvation response, or she could be 10 to 12 pounds less by eating 2,000 calories per day. So what I'm going to do is briefly describe here how to fix this problem, but if anyone wants more detailed information, show number 45 is on the topic of how to break out of weight loss plateaus, and show number 62 answers all of the common reasons why people don't seem to be able to lose weight. As well, because I'm talking about the number of calories that you need to be eating and things like your basal metabolic rate, if you need to calculate those numbers for yourself, those calculators are available at fattofitradio.com under the tools section. So when you hit a weight loss plateau, there are two possible causes. Number one, you have been dieting for a long time. You don't have to be losing weight very quickly. You might lose 50 pounds in a year, which is a reasonable rate of weight loss, and then all of a sudden you stop losing weight. It's just gradual stress of losing weight over a long time can add up. The second main reason is you are eating too few calories and the starvation response has kicked in. Here is a very simple rule of thumb. The lowest number of calories that you should ever eat is 20% higher than your current BMR. Becky's basal metabolic rate is 1,650 calories. So if I take that and multiply it by 1.2, you get around 2,000 calories. As your weight changes, this number also changes, so you'll need to recalculate it every once in a while. Now, to get out of a plateau is very simple, but it goes against a lot of common sense of what people think you need to do to get weight loss going again. Most people think you need to eat less, which is 100% wrong. Your body is under serious stress right now because it thinks that it's starving. You need to eat more for a few weeks or even a month or even longer to take the stress off your body. When your body no longer thinks that it's starving, it will start releasing fat again, just like the calorie equations tell you it should. Well, how much should you eat? You should be eating at your current maintenance level or even a few hundred calories over it. In Becky's case, to maintain her weight at 193 pounds, she needs to eat somewhere around 2,300 to 2,500 calories per day. This is the level that she needs to eat at right now for a couple weeks or possibly a month. She might even put on a couple of pounds over this time, but the goal is for the body to get out of starvation mode so you can start losing fat again. 2 months down the road, she'll be farther ahead in her weight loss than continuing to severely undereat right now. So those are the basics, and as I said, for more details, refer to show number 45 and show number 62.
All right, that's going to do it for our email and comments. We'll have more on BMR information in a moment, but I want to thank Wendy and Becky for their questions. Thank you very much for those. Keep them coming in. If you'd like to get your comment or question to us, there are a few ways you can do that. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, it's time for the Web Report. Jeff, what article do you have for us this week?
Well, in this show, we are always talking about exercising to burn those extra calories, to burn more fat, or to improve your cardiovascular health, or to build muscle to speed up your metabolism. But in reality, for most people, 25 years from now, your quality of life will be drastically better than someone else whose body becomes weak and frail because of lack of exercise. The article that I'm linking to this week is from livescience.com, and it was a question talking about, is it safe to exercise in your 70s? So from the article here, it says, if you're inactive, you deteriorate. Physical activity can help restore your capacity. Most older adults, regardless of age or condition, will benefit from increasing physical activity to a moderate level. And they talk about the four types of exercise that are important for your health. And these are exercises for strength, balance, stretching, and endurance. Now, if you are approaching 70 or a senior citizen, you can read the rest of the article on your own, but I'm just going to jump down to the bottom where they give 10 tips to make any exercise program safe. And this is good for people at any age. Point one, don't hold your breath during strength exercises. Point two, when lifting weights, use smooth, steady movements. Breathe out as you lift or push, and breathe in as you relax. Point three, avoid jerking or thrusting movements. Point 4, avoid locking the joints of your arms and legs into a strained position. Point 5, some soreness and slight fatigue are normal after muscle building exercises. Exhaustion, sore joints, and painful muscle pulls are not normal. Number 6, always warm up. Number 7, stretching should never cause pain, especially joint pain. Number 8, never bounce into a stretch. Make slow, steady movements instead. Number 9, to prevent injuries, use safety equipment such as helmets for biking. And the last point, you should be able to talk during endurance exercises. So these are just some good points that are good for people at all ages, but it's nice to see that people should not be shying away from exercise even in their 70s, because this is lifelong health. You don't just exercise for a couple years when you're young and it lasts a lifetime. Exercise is a way of life and your body will respond to it at any age. So Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Yeah, here, instead of going to some other website, I'm going to shoot you over to fattofitradio.com/tools. Now, we used to have just a single calculator. That was the BMR calculator that a lot of you have used and liked. But now I've added a couple more. Added a goal body weight calculator and a waist to hip ratio calculator. Now, first, the goal body weight calculator. It calculates your goal body weight based on your lean body mass. So in this calculator, you need your current weight, your current body fat percentage, and you're going to need to input your goal body fat percentage as well. To make this easier, I put a little table on there, and you just choose your age and sex, and you can choose a healthy range for your body fat. Now, say for mine, 31 to 40, it's going to be between 8 and 19%. So I'd go ahead and put that in, as well as my current weight and current body fat. It gives me how much I should weigh as a goal. So it's good information there. And you can input that information then into the BMR calculator so you have a good idea of what you should weigh, and that's going to give you a better result on that page as well. Now, we also have here a waist-to-hip calculator, and that's going to be real simple. Insert your waist measurement and your hip measurement, and from that, it's going to give you a number. It's a ratio. And with that information, you can look at the table on the result page, and it tells you whether you are in a higher risk category for things like diabetes or high blood pressure or possibly coronary heart disease. This is based on the idea that that visceral fat inside your belly is causing these diseases. And so if it's you have a high ratio there, it means your waist is larger than your hips. It means you got a lot of that fat in there. And so that's what you want to focus on, getting rid of that visceral fat. So just a couple new calculators. Going to be adding probably a couple more here in the coming months. So check that out. It's at fattofitradio.com/tools.
You know, I really like how these calculators work together. So if you have no idea how much your goal weight really should be, the first calculator figures that out, and it bases it on what your body fat percentage should be. It calculates, if I get to 12% body fat, I should weigh about this amount of weight. Then you go to the BMR calculator, put in your new calculated goal weight, and it will tell you how much you can eat on a daily basis for the rest of your life to maintain that weight and get down to that weight. So I really think it kind of goes full circle. We talk about how body fat percentage is a great goal. This will figure out for you at what body fat percentage, how much will you weigh, then you can figure it out and really get these numbers down. So I think it's a really good job you did there, Russ.
Well, thank you. You know, the next one probably coming is going to be a body fat calculator. Now, we can't specifically say, you know, what your body fat is, but there is a generic way to kind of, you know, take a measurement of wrists and waists and hips, and you can kind of get an idea what your body fat is. That's probably going to be the next one. So check back on that page for that calculator in the future.
All right. Well, let's move on to the feature section.
So we received this email from listener Rachel recently, and it really struck a chord with me. So we decided to put it here in the feature section. Now, I've edited a little bit for brevity's sake, but here it is.
Hi, Russ and Jeff. A little bit about me to put my question into perspective. I'm 18 years old, 5'5", and have no idea what I weigh. I know I'm overweight, but I'm living in Germany, and I haven't seen a single scale since I got here 7 months ago. But the reason I'm writing is not because of what I found here in Europe, but rather what I left behind in California. I am the youngest and skinniest, or rather the least overweight, person in my family. I've always noticed that we all seemed genetically doomed to be obese, but I am determined never to get to that point, and that's been motivation for me. But it really bothers me that my parents and my brothers are obese. Russ, you often talk about your kids, and I thought maybe you'd like a little tidbit of how I, as a child, feel about my parents being obese. Both of my parents are around 250-ish, if I could guess. I've never actually asked them how much they weigh. They are both very hardworking people with desk jobs. Before I left, I knew they were going for regular walks, and since then, I know my mom has started walking a half-hour walk per day when she's not writing papers for her next master's degree. It's a good start, but I know it's not good enough because I know she forgoes exercise in favor of working in front of the computer. My mom has been yo-yo dieting for a long time and sometimes taking the family with her, but she always, always, always gets discouraged and gives up. She's been overweight for exactly my entire life, starting from pregnancy on. She always jokingly says that I stole the body she used to have. And my dad, well, my dad doesn't seem to care at all that he's overweight. So Russ, as a parent whose mind is focused on weight loss, what kind of advice could you give me on motivating my parents without overstepping my bounds as a dramatically thinner person as well as their child? They are wonderful people who have always taken care of me, and I want to be respectful but helpful. What kinds of things do you think would be okay to hear from your kids, especially from my dad, who doesn't seem to mind at all that he's really overweight? My biggest fear is that their unhealthy lifestyle will shorten their lifespan. I desperately want them to live long and healthy lives and be there for my children when I eventually have them. Thanks for any advice you might have, and if you've talked about this before, let me know which show number that is, and I'll be happy to go listen to it. Thanks, Rachel.
All right, so I have three stories I'd like to relay that echo Rachel's fears and desire to help her parents. Now, first off, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know I've been overweight for a large portion of my life. Now, during that time, my mother has also been overweight. She's also been a constant yo-yo dieter as well. You might have heard on a past show that she had lost some weight and she was dealing with the hanging skin syndrome. Well, that's no more. She's gained some of that weight back now, and she probably didn't gain that back in muscle. Now, over the years, the constant on-again, off-again dieting has robbed her body of much of her muscle. Now, at age 64, she's already mentioned how weak she is, and she can't lift something that in the past she was easily able to handle. How do I tell her she's in trouble and needs to lose the weight the right way? Now, my second story is about a woman that I know also recently lost some weight in preparation for a surgery she had. After losing the weight, she looked the best I'd seen her in the 7 years of knowing her. After the surgery, which contained a long recuperation period, she's put back some, most, or even all of the weight that she lost. And like my mother, she almost undoubtedly gained it back as fat. After she lost the weight, she even mentioned to me that I should tell her if she looks like she's gaining the weight back, to be her fat compass, in other words. That sounded all well and good until it came time to actually say those words and confront her that I can tell she's gained the weight back. I both hope and don't hope that she hears this show, mostly because if she does, maybe I won't have to actually say those words to her. It will be a very interesting talk with her if or when she does hear this. Now, finally, I have an uncle that's been very much like a second father to me since my father died a few years ago. He's this amazing guy that helps out with watching the kids. Did I mention amazing? He's also an extremely large guy. The kids even mention how big and hard his belly is. It's kind of a joke with the kids, but I'm looking at him and seeing a huge amount of visceral fat. The fat that sits around the midsection and causes type 2 diabetes and heart disease. The kind of fat that when he dies, Jamie Oliver is going to get a crazy German doctor to slice him and see all that fat around his organs and wonder how he could even breathe. Meanwhile, I say nothing to any of them. Why is that, and what can I and you do about it? Now, first, why? So why are we afraid to confront our parents, friends, and other loved ones about their weight? There are few discussions you can have that are more awkward than telling someone about their weight. Money would probably be number one, but weight issues are definitely a close second. It's just uncomfortable to put yourself out there, especially when your input has not been asked for. There's fear of an argument or blowing up at your bringing up the issue, hurt feelings and dissolution of friendships and or estrangement from family if it doesn't go right. We know it's coming from a good place. Your job and my job is to make sure we convey that.
So the question now is, how do you convey that someone is gaining weight, and how to confront them without this becoming a huge situation and losing a friendship or, you know, being disowned from your family? So we have a number of points here, and we'll just alternate. First of all, make sure you come from a place of concern. Why are you raising the issue? Is it out of genuine love and caring?
Yeah, next is, make absolutely sure you want to go ahead with this. Serious weight conversations like this are not the kind you want to have off the cuff. There are some seriously heavy issues involved: self-worth, vanity, addiction, personal responsibility, stress levels, history, habit, family, and peer pressure are just a few. If you're willing to deal with them, great. If not, perhaps there's another solution.
Consider approaching as a group, or at least taking a consensus. When multiple friends or family members raise an issue with a loved one, it can show them the urgency of your message and make it clear that you're not the only one who sees the problem. However, before you sit down and talk, make sure that your group is all in agreement with the same concerns and everyone comes across with the same positive solutions. You never want to gang up on someone who may already feel pretty crappy about themselves. So this is just a weight loss intervention.
Yes, and you don't want to wait until the last minute. If you're truly concerned about someone's weight, the time to make your point isn't during their third bypass surgery. Though when that loved one has a medical condition that's caused by their weight, that may be the opportune time to breach the subject.
And make sure that you time it right. Holidays and major life events cause enough stress as it is. Piling on, "Dad, I'm concerned about your growing belly fat," won't help. Pick a low-key afternoon or quiet coffee to start the conversation.
Also, don't assume they don't know already. Odds are that someone seriously overweight is 100% aware of their situation. Also, realizing that others are conscious of their weight can be severely embarrassing. They may have assumed that they've been hiding it well.
And you can ask the advice of a professional. If you're feeling nervous or lost about where to begin, a doctor or trainer can give you some guidance along the way.
Now, you want to make sure you rehearse the conversation. Rushing into important talks without a clear idea of what to say can leave all participants confused and angry. Think about your message. Frame it honestly and positively. Practice delivering it in the kindest tone possible and anticipate the responses. This isn't a debate, but going in with all your ducks in a row can only help with the dialogue.
You are not the moral authority here. Casting aspersions or telling someone that their behavior is a result of a personality failure can make them defensive, angry, and sad.
You also want to be honest and voice your concerns openly and kindly. Listen, ask questions, and answer questions.
And speak wisely and kindly. Your choice of words could dictate everything about how the talk is going to go. "You are a total fat sack of blank" will not get the discussion anywhere. Avoid using any sort of insulting language.
Make sure you use lots of I sentences. Relying on your own experiences is a great segue into talking about a loved one's problem. Now, try something like, "Dad, I've been getting a little gushy around the middle. I've been doing some research on losing weight. Have you read anything promising?"
And you should expect resistance, but take it in stride. "It's none of your business. I'll never lose 100 pounds. Or I've tried dieting before and it doesn't work," are just a sample of the defensive responses you can expect when confronting a loved one about their weight. Don't take it as a personal attack. Accept it, but make your points and keep moving.
Here's an important one. Don't nag. Nagging gets no one anywhere, ever.
And you will not get instant results. Understand that people change when they want to, not when you want them to. It's one to express concern. It's another to demand immediate satisfaction. You may be planting the seed that makes them start to think about their weight. Later on, you might get a follow-up question or invitation to coffee again, but only when they're ready.
Yep, take one step at a time and be patient. If your loved one is on the same page, offer the assistance and help them make small changes. Weight problems develop over entire lifetimes. You're not going to turn them around in one day. It will take time. So those are our suggestions. I've compiled these from multiple resources, and there'll be a list of them in the show notes. But in particular, I did not find a reference for talking to parents about weight problems. But I think these strategies will work for friend and father alike. Now, for myself, I'm planning to talk to my friend about her weight gain, in particular because she asked me to. And honestly, I have the least interaction with her on a daily basis. So, Jeff, have you ever had to confront someone about their weight?
Well, I wouldn't say the word would be confront because I don't do that. But I have in the past reached out to a couple of people. And the two people that I'm thinking about are probably in the 500 to 600 pound range. And there is really no point in me telling them that they are fat and unhealthy and that they will die at a much younger age and will suffer many painful ailments over their lifetimes because of their obesity. They know this. You can tell just by talking to them that it's difficult for them to breathe, and even moving around must be very hard. For one of the guys who has a new baby, and that really worried me, all that I did was mention that I've been doing Fat to Fit Radio for the last couple of years and that it's been going well and that we probably have hundreds of emails from people who are his size who've had success following our advice. Then I just casually told him that I have tons of resources and menus, etc. And if at some point in the future he wants to get back in shape, give me a call and I can help him out and I could even help train him. And I just left it at that and I didn't push anything more than that and I never brought it up again. I figured that when he is ready, he's going to ask for help. And the other person that I'm thinking of is actually a former student of mine who probably graduated high school 8 or 9 years ago. At his graduation, those big black graduation gowns, it was skin tight on him, and he was probably wearing the largest size that they made, and I know that he's put on tons of weight since then. A couple of times around New Year's, I've sent him a short email that has simply said something like, if this is the year you want to get in shape, you know I can help you, you know, just let me know. And that's been enough for me. So those are the two times that I've really kind of reached out to try and get people some help, but I know that when they're ready, they'll ask for help, and I can't make them lose weight if they're not ready. And personally, I seem to make people uncomfortable about their weight if they know me and know that I teach phys ed and I do this show. And I've said in the past that I don't have to do anything to make people self-conscious. When I'm out with people and they're eating their cheeseburger and fries and gravy beside me, I know they're always kind of looking at me to see what I'm eating, so that's really enough for me. I really, in my personal life, don't want to become the fitness and weight loss Nazi. You know, it's like becoming the insurance salesman who everyone is friendly to, but really would rather avoid, because at some point in every conversation, insurance always comes up. So Russ, do you find this, people who know you've been losing weight for the last year or two, and are they conscious about what they're eating in front of you?
I wouldn't say they're conscious of that, but you know, while the conversation might been about, you know, weight at some point, as soon as they realize that I do this show and that I have been losing weight, they kind of just clam up. They don't want to talk about it anymore because it becomes maybe a little too personal at that point. You know, when everybody's, you know, oh, we're all trying to lose weight, we're all trying to get fit, and they haven't had any success, and I have, they kind of just start, you know, to clam up a little bit, like, oh, I don't want to compare now. And that's kind of been my experience so far. So I am kind of, well, I'm very, very nervous about talking to my friend. I mean, and confrontation is not the right word. Confronting here is, I'm using it, it's a very positive thing. I'm not saying to confront and, you know, hey, you know, you fatty, let's do this. It's more of a, you know, hey, let's work on this together. If you have, is there anything I can help you with, you know, let's do it. So confront, well, it is using a positive light here for sure. But we will have some more links in the show notes, so check them out on the website, fattofitradio.com, for show number 91 here, and there'll be a lot of great ones.
All right, well, let's move on to the next section, which is the recipe of the week.
Well, Jeff, I have a terrific recipe for you, and literally, that's what it's called, terrific low-fat lasagna. Now, this was an entree winner in the Good Morning America 2000 Cut the Calories Cook-Off Contest, an alliteration nightmare. But this recipe is not a nightmare. It looks delicious. It's got some great ingredients in it. It's got eggs and garlic and skim mozzarella cheese, ricotta cheese, which is delicious, and some lean ground beef, as well as a lot of other ingredients. But it only has 356 calories per serving, which is a great number. Pair that with a nice salad with a little balsamic vinaigrette dressing, and you get a great low-calorie dinner. So check it out, the terrific low-fat lasagna.
Well, Russ, it's good that you finally found something that wasn't Mexican.
Well, Jeff, I aim to please. I know you're the gringo here, and so got to get you something different. But, Jeff, what is our homework for the week?
Well, I think I have a really good homework. This one just came to me. You see, I have watched many weight loss TV shows over the years where a trainer or nutritionist shows up at someone's house on the very first day and starts going through their kitchen to see what they've been eating. They always end up with this large box full of junk foods and unhealthy processed food that they take away because clearly these foods do not help to improve that person's health. Your homework this week is to become that trainer or nutritionist and honestly and impartially go through your own kitchen cleaning out the junk that you know hurts your fitness goals. I'm not saying that you have to throw everything out, but at least get it out of sight and out of mind. If you wrap it up and seal it in a garbage bag, put a do not open until sign on it, and don't put a date. Put a weight loss or measurement goal. Chances are that when you open the bag after losing 20 pounds or let's say 5 inches off your waist, that junk food in there will no longer be appealing to you.
That's a good idea. Now, I heard a quote here recently that fit and healthy people eat from the fridge and overweight people will eat from the pantry, meaning that those processed foods are going to be in the pantry while the fresh healthy foods are going to be in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but Jeff, what is our motivational quote for this week?
The quote this week comes from Andrea, who is a listener, and mentioned this in one of her posts over at fattofitsupport.com. And she said, "My motto is progress, not perfection."
There's a lot more than Andrea's quote over there at fattofitsupport.com. So do yourself a favor, go check it out right now. Meanwhile, Thank you, everyone, for participating in the show. Thank you for sending those great questions in. Keep them coming. And you can check out all the show notes over at fattofitradio.com. Look for show number 91. And with that, we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast at fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.